Now we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The story of Lord Chaitanya delivering a moga, the offender. And we heard yesterday, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is telling his wife and to instruct her daughter, Shati, that she should give up a relationship with her husband, Amoga, because Amoga is a great offender of Lord Chaitanya. And the father has vowed, taken a sankalpa, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has taken a sankalpa, not to see the face, to never see the face of his son-in-law again, that blasphemer. And he's vowed to reject him and give up his relationship with him. And he's vowed to never take his, even take his name. So this is one reaction or one line of behavior one could implement if he meets an offender. If he meets a guru aparadi or a Krishna aparadi, if someone offends one's guru or offends Krishna, then he could respond. He could respond with this four-point program. Four-point program that was shown in the Leela of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in Madhi Leela, chapter 17, verses 258 through 290. So the 4 points are, says, Nindaker Mukha Nadeki. Says, I make a firm resolution. From this day forward, I will never, ever, ever again see the face of that offender, that blasphemer, even though he's my own son-in-law. Very serious. And I totally reject him, Tyagi, Parityagi. And I break all relationship. I give up my relationship with him. That means he's no longer my son-in-law. What is the relationship? The sambandha is kutumba. Kutumba sambandha. It's a relationship based on family. I am the father-in-law. He's a son-in-law. He is the husband of my daughter, Shati. I give up my relationship with him. I am not his father-in-law anymore. He's not my son-in-law. That's number three. Number four is not only that. Not only I don't want to see him, I have no relationship with him, I've rejected him, but I'll never, ever even mention his name. This is a four-point program. Quite a powerful response to a blasphemer, a ninda. So then we heard how he was preaching to his wife. Sarvabhauma was saying that if a husband has fallen away from the principles and practices of Krishna consciousness, he's not following the principles, and he's not inspiring or leading his wife in a spiritual way, then he's considered fallen. And then if a wife gives up association, or she, it says in Smriti that a husband, if he's fallen, a wife should give up a relationship with him. So now after all this is going on, of course, Amoga made the offense and he ran away when he was chased by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who had a stick in his hand. And then Lord Chaitanya, Amoga begged forgiveness and pardon from Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya was simply laughing. He thought it was quite funny, humorous. He didn't take it seriously. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya took it very seriously. He took up the issue with Mahaprabhu, then again later with his wife, and spoke all these things we heard. Now what's happening? So now we know what's happened with Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu, and Sarvabhauma and his wife, and something about their daughter, Shati. But meanwhile, what's happening to Amoga? Amoga is the Brahmin, son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he's the one that made this offense, Lord Chaitanya. So what's happening to him? Se ratrayamoga kahan palana agela pratakaletara vishukchika vyadihaila. That night, the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Amoga, fled from the town. He ran away. And in the morning, he immediately fell sick with cholera. Pratakali visuchika vyadihaila. Amoga Marena Shuni Kahi Bhattacharya Sahaya Ihaya Daiva Kailamora Karya. When the Bhattacharya heard that Amoga was dying of cholera, he thought, so Amoga Marena, he's about to die. Then the father-in-law thought, ah, it is a favor of providence that God is doing what I want to do. In other words, Sarvabhauma wanted to kill his son-in-law. He wanted to murder him for making his offense to Lord Chaitanya, but he refrained from murdering his son-in-law because his son-in-law is a Brahmin and he didn't want to commit Brahmin hatya. It's a very grave sin. And he couldn't give up his own life, which was a second alternative, because if he committed suicide, that would also be Brahmin hatya. So he couldn't kill his son-in-law nor kill himself. So he was hoping that something grave would happen. So then God stepped in, fulfilled his desire, and God is starting to finish off the son-in-law. Ishwarita aparada phale takshan eta bali pare dui shastra vachan. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said this. When one offends the Supreme Personality of Godhead, karma immediately takes effect. Ishvareta aparada phale tatakshan. Tatakshana. Phala, the fruit of aparada. Immediately takes Ishvara aparada. Shastra vachan dvipade. Pade means shloka. Pade, dvipade. After saying this, Sarvabhauma recited two verses from the revealed scripture. Mahatahi priyatnena hastyashwa ratapattibi asmabir yat anushteyam gandharavais taranushtitam. This is one verse from Mahabharata, Vanaparva 241:15. What we have had to arrange with great endeavor by collecting elephants, horses, chariots, and infantry soldiers has already been accomplished by the Gandharvas. So this is about a whole pastime that took place. Actually took place here in Vrindavan. It's told like that, in a forest called Kamyavan. And the Pandavas were residing there with Draupadi. And Duryodhan had a plan. Duryodhan, he thought, let me go there while they're in the forest without an inattentive state. They're just relaxing there. And I will sneak attack them with my armies. And I will kill them, ambush them, and finish them off so I don't have to worry about the Pandavas anymore. So this army of Duryodhan proceeded from Hastinapur to Kamyavan, and they got quite near Kamyavan, very near the camp of the Pandavas. And the word was given to Indra. Some of the spies and messengers of Indra said, do you understand, my king, that the envious Kaurava army being led by Duryodhan is about to kill your son? They're planning to ambush your son and the Pandavas and Kamyavan and kill them mercilessly, because the son of Indra is Arjun, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right? Yeah. Kunti and Indra. So then Indra said, what? What is this? So he immediately dispatched the commander of his army, Chitrartha, something like this, King Chitrartha. And he collected an army of Gandharvas and other soldiers and chariots, and they immediately descended from the sky, and they landed right in front of the advancing Kaurava army out of nowhere. They just appeared out of the sky. Elephants, horses, infantry, bows and arrows, everything. And they had a huge fight. They started fighting the Duryodhana and the Kauravas, and they were defeating him and killing him left, right, and center. And then Duryodhana started screaming, "Help, help, help." And then Bhima, because they were quite near the Pandavas' camp, Bhima heard the cries of his brother or cousin brother. Then he said, "Listen, Arjuna, that sounds like Duryodhana. He's in trouble. He's in trouble. He's crying for help." So then they summoned their weapons and they prepared for battle. And the five Pandavas ran out there and they saw that this celestial army of Gandharvas was massacring the Kaurava army. So the Pandavas immediately attacked the Gandharvas. And the Gandharvas were bewildered. "What is this? Indra has sent us here to protect his son, and now his son is attacking us. Arjuna is leading up the charges. Indra's son Arjuna, he's leading up the charges, and we've come here to protect him from a sneak attack by his cousin brothers, envious cousin brothers, Duryodhana and Kauravas." So then the Pandavas drove back those Gandharva army, and they retreated into the sky, back to Gandharva Loka. And they reported to Indra, he said, "Your son is most strange. This army was coming to kill him secretly, and we went to defend him, and then he came out to beat us up, counterattack us." So then Duryodhana, he was so shameful and so embarrassed that his mission, he had come on this nefarious mission to kill his cousin brothers. And in time of need, his cousin brothers came and saved him. And quite a reversal in situation. And so that he actually, rather than, one would think that he may give up his animosity, that Duryodhana may have, by this incident, may have given up his animosity, increased his appreciation and gratitude for Yudhisthira and the Pandavas and Arjuna. But he didn't. It actually increased his envy. He became even more angry, more envy. "Oh, this! Now look at this. I came to kill him. Now, and the very person I'm coming to kill, he has to save me." So much humility and so much forgiveness and so much non-enviousness. And I'm coming to kill him. And then when I get in some difficulty, I'm about to be killed by some adversary, he comes to my aid. And he risks his life. He could also be killed trying to save me. He risks his life to save me when I'm in trouble. So rather than appreciating that good quality, seeing again another display of good qualities, which he saw so many times in his life, it simply fueled his envy. They have a saying that if you give milk and bananas, if you feed milk and bananas to a snake, what does it do? Does it make the snake healthy? And does it make him sweet like sweet milk and make him like soft like a banana? No, if you feed milk and bananas to a snake, it increases his venom. The content of his poison doubles. He converts all that amrit into vish. Milk is amrit, and poison is vish. So milk and bananas together make a very nice amrit, or health-giving tonic for the body. But if you give it to a snake, he doesn't make a tonic, he makes poison, doubles his poison reservoir. So this is the story that's cited here, that we have to arrange. So he was remembering this. Sarvabhauma was thinking, "I wish I could kill my son-in-law, but the Shastras forbid." So then he's thinking, "Oh, what I couldn't do, God has already done. Providence and God has arranged to kill him by striking him down with leprosy, which is a fatal disease. Eats away the body in a few days or a few weeks or whatever." And then he remembered, yes, this is just like the Pandavas. What they couldn't do, they were sleeping in their camp in Kamivan. The Gandharvas, they arranged instantly all these armies. So what we had to arrange with great endeavor by collecting elephants and horses has already been accomplished by the Gandharvas. This is a story. Then he's going on, and now he's quoting a verse from 10th Canto Bhagavatam. First he quotes Mahabharata, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya quotes the praman or evidence or proof from the Vedas, the Smritis, corollaries, Mahabharata. Then he quotes from Srimad Bhagavat Puran, 10th Canto, chapter 4, verse 46. Ayushriyam yasho dharmam lokan nashisha evacha hanti shreyam si sarvani pumso mahadati kramaha. When a person mistreats great souls, his lifespan, ayu, his opulence, shriyam, his reputation, yasho, his religion, dharmam, his possessions, and good fortune are all destroyed. So basically, everything's destroyed. If your lifespan is destroyed, then everything connected with it is also destroyed. Ayu. Ayuhanti. Ayuhanti means kill the life. Hanti, destroy, kill, annihilate. Ayu means life, life force, body, etc. Ayuhanti. It says, Ayu Shriyam Yashodaram. It says, Hanti Shreyamsi Sarvani. Sarvani. If you kill the body, everything's finished. Obviously, if you're dead, your fame, everything. But interesting, though, sometimes if you're a Vaishnava or a good person and you're dead, your body's dead, your fame lives on. They say that your fame lives on. You may die, but your fame lives on. But here, it's very interesting. You may die and your body's dead, and when you die, your opulence is finished and your lifespan is finished and your religion, your possessions, your good fortune, everything may be finished. But your fame will go on. But here, the Bhagavatam is saying in relation to Kamsa, because he's about to offend the great devotee Devaki, not only his lifespan, he'll be killed, but his opulence, his religion, possessions, good fortune, and even his fame will be killed. Any good fame he had as being a good king or a beneficial, what do you say, benign king of Mathura, whatever he may have had, it'll be all destroyed. Everything will be lost, even your fame. And this concerns the attempted killing of Krishna's sister, Yogamaya, who appeared, it says before Krishna's birth, usually it's after, but anyway, it says here before. Before Krishna's birth, as a daughter of Mother Yashoda. The daughter, Yogamaya, and the son, Krishna, were born simultaneously, and Vasudeva replaced Yogamaya with Mathura Krishna, and took Yogamaya away. When she was brought to Mathura and Kamsa attempted to kill her, Yogamaya slipped out of his hands. She could not be killed. Yogamaya, Krishna's sister, then informed Kamsa about the birth of his enemy, Krishna. Being baffled, Kamsa consulted his associates, who were all demons. When this big conspiracy was taking place, Shukadeva Goswami spoke this verse, Ayu Shriyam Yasho Dharmam Lokan Nashisha Evacha. Shukadeva points out that a demon can lose everything because of his nefarious sinful activities. So this is a verse. This is also being quoted by Sarvabhaut Bhattacharya. Now there's some more characters are entering into this Leela drama. So we have to keep all these characters in our mind, all these personalities. There's Lord Chaitanya, the main character. Then there's Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, next main character. Then there's Amoga, the son-in-law. And then there's some secondary heroines, etc. There's Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya's wife. Then his daughter, Shati. Shati. Now this verse is, Gopinatha Charja Gela Prabhu Darshan Prabhu Tanre Puchila Bhattacharya Vivaran. At that time, Gopinathacharya went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Lord asked him about the events taking place in Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya's house. I believe Gopinathacharya is a nephew of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, as much as I can remember. Acharya kai upavasa kaila duijan visuchika vyadite amoga chadicha jivan. Gopinathacharya informed Mahaprabhu that Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya and his wife were fasting and that their son Amoga was dying of cholera. Upavas. Upavas means fasting. In other words, even after so much, few days or whatever the time is, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya is feeling so much repentance, so much distraught over this offense of his son-in-law that he could not even eat. As soon as Lord Chaitanya left his house after being fed sumptuously but also being offended by Amoga, And then Sarabhauma reacted by saying, I don't want to eat anymore. And his wife followed his lead, because the wife can only eat if the husband eats. So he was fasting, she was fasting. So they were dying slowly, because if you don't eat, you die. So they were also dying. And then on the other side, their son-in-law, Amoga, he was dying directly by disease of cholera. So they're both basically giving up their bodies. The offender, Amoga, is giving up his body by the arrangement of providence. God has arranged for him against his will, obviously, but God has stricken him down with cholera as a reaction to his heinous offense to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he's dying by God's arrangement. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his wife, they're dying by their own arrangement, by their own choice. And both of them are dying because of the offense made to Lord Chaitanya. So this news was passed on to Lord Chaitanya by Gopinath Acharya, who I believe is a nephew of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Suni kripa maya prabhu aila dan amoge rekha hita bukke hastadiya. As soon as Mahaprabhu heard that Amoga, the Brahmin son-in-law, Sarvabhauma, was going to die from cholera, he immediately ran to that place in great haste. He ran quickly. Placing his hand on Amoga's chest, Mahaprabhu spoke as follows. Sahaje nirmala e brahmana ridai krishnara vasiteye jogyastanohai. Sarvabhauma said, the heart of a Brahmin is by nature very clean. Sahaja, 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 nirmal, nirmal ridai. This sahaja means the nature. The heart is clean, nirmal, no dirt. Therefore, it is a proper place for Krishna to sit. Krishna vasate jogya stanik. Jogya, jogya, jogya stan. It's a proper place. Vas, for Krishna Vas. In other words, Krishna lives in a clean heart. Nirmal Ridai. When the heart is free from the dirt, when the heart is free from all dirt or contamination, Nirmal. When the heart is free from all dirt and contamination, then Yogyastan, the Lord will sit there in union with the devotee. Yogyastane. Krishna Vas. Krishna Vas. Krishna Bhavan. Krishna Nivas. Krishna will reside in the heart, in the purified heart. So that's the first principle of devotion, to purify the heart, so that Krishna will be happy to reside there. Cheto Darpana Marjanam, Chit Darpan Marjan. The mirror of the consciousness, the mirror of the heart must be cleansed by chanting the holy name and serving the Lord. Then the Lord will come and stay there, Krishna Vasite. So he's speaking this. Lord Chaitanya is giving this instruction. Amoga, Amoga, what happened to you? You're born in a Brahmin. You're raised in a very high-class family. Now you grew up and now you married a very high-class family, the daughter of the famous Acharya, Bhattacharya. And now you did such a bad thing? You spoke so much envy came inside your heart? So much mal? So much dirt entered your heart? Your heart should be nirmal. Nirmal ridaye. Should be pure heart. How so much dirt came in your heart? This is very bad. What happened to you, Amoga? Don't you know you're a Brahmin? Remember, don't you? You're Sahaja Brahmani. Or Sahaja Nirmal. Sahaja, this is supposed to be your nature as a Brahmin, to have a Nirmal, Nirmal Ridai, a pure heart. What happened to you? How you became so envious? You made offense. The Krishna will sit in a heart that is pure. Krishna will reside there, Yogyastane. Yogyastane, Krishna Vasite. Krishna Vasite, Yogyastane. Krishna will sit there and take residence in a heart that is pure. Matsarya chandala hene, matsarya chandala kene, ihan vasaile, parama pavitra stana apavitra kaile. Sarvabhauma continued, oh, Amoga, why have you allowed the chandala of jealousy to sit in your heart also? In this way you have contaminated a most purified place, your heart. Chandala. Matsarya chandal, the very low, this chandal, this low class person named Matsarya, envy, you've allowed to contaminate your heart. Parma Pavitrastant Apavitrakali. Your heart was previously so pure, so soft, so komal, so tender, so innocent. But now how has this very filthy, dirty envy enveloped your heart? What has happened? It was your heart was pavitra, pure, now became parma apavitra, most contaminated. Yeah, this is Lord Chaitanya speaking. He's rushed out. He's heard the news that Amoga is dying of cholera. He's rushed out. He's placed his hand on his chest. Lord Chaitanya has placed his hand on his chest. And of course, you can imagine if his heart, which is inside his chest, was Nirmal Ridoy, by contacting the lotus hand of Lord Chaitanya, there's a good chance that it wouldn't be contaminated for too much longer. You know, Lord Chaitanya's Chinmay Sarup, spiritual energy coming out of his hand. Talk about healing hands. They have phrases like healing hands, healing energy, pranic healing, reiki. So what to speak when Lord Chaitanya puts his golden hand on your chest, which is a source, which is where your heart resides, and envy also resides in the heart, and jealousy. So Lord Chaitanya addressing the problem literally and figuratively. Literally and figuratively, he's addressing the problem with Amoga. Amoga's problem is a problem of the heart. Envy is a heart problem. Love is a good quality of the heart and envy is a bad quality. Love is a pure quality of the heart and envy is the impure, parama apavitra. Parama apavitra is not pure. Pavitra means pure. So he's putting his hand on his heart. And so what happened? He's resting his hand on Amoga's heart. Amoga's lying down, dying. Of cholera. So Lord Chaitanya comes and puts his hand on his heart. Said, what happened to you? You're a pure Brahmin by birth. And he became Parama Apavitra. So much contaminated. So Matsarya, this chandala of Matsarya of envy is dancing in your heart. Why you let this come in your heart? You contaminated the most pure place. Parama Pavitrastan. Parama Pavitrastan, your heart is supposed to be a topmost purified place. I should say, I had it backwards. Parama Pavitrastan, your heart is the most purified place, but you've made it apavitra, impure, because of envy. So in other words, he says sahaja. First he said sahaja nirmal ridoy. So that means the natural position of the heart is nirmal. Sahaja. Sahaja means natural. What is natural? The nature. Jivara Surupaya Krishnara Nityadas. This is our nature. This is our natural position. We cannot fall. I mean, if we attain our natural position, we can't leave that. This is our real position. So in a real position, we're serving Krishna. You can only serve someone when you're free from envy. You serve someone you love. So this is the purified heart, the loving heart. The serving heart is a purified heart. The loving heart is a serving heart. And a loving and serving heart is a purified heart. Nirmalya Ridaya, a heart which is free from dirt. Cheto Darpan Margin. The Darpan is margin, is cleansed. So now he's saying, but now this dirty thing, what is this envy? What is envy like? Envy is like a chandala. Chandala is like a suitor and below suitor is a chandala. It's like dog eater and dirty, filthy thing. Then he says, Mahaprabhu says to us, Amoga, Sarvabhama Sange Tamara. Kolusho Hailakshay, Kamasha Guchile Jiva, Krishna Maloy. However, Amoga, due to your association with Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, all your contamination is now vanquished. When a person's heart is cleansed of all contamination, he is able to chant the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna. Kamasha Guchile Jiva, Krishna Maloy. So it's kamasha, kashaya, shaya. When the kamash, the contamination is dispelled, then the living entity can take jiva krishna nam lai. Literally it means jiva, the living entity can accept krishna nam. Which Prabhupada explains, the living entity becomes able to chant Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra. By good association, he gets his eligibility. And also when his heart is cleansed, he can really chant the pure name. So now this is a conclusion. After touching the chest of Amoga with his beautiful blessings, the blessings from his hand, Garanga has touched the chest of the offender Amoga. He's become a Vaishnav offender, an offender to God because of envy is residing in his heart. Lord Chaitanya has touched his heart, literally and figuratively, with his hand and with his words. Then he concludes his healing. This is Lord Chaitanya did a healing. Lord Chaitanya performed a laying on of the hands. They have these things in the Bible where Jesus, he goes, the same thing is there actually. It's actually quite funny. In the Bible, Jesus goes to lepers, and he puts his, Jesus, there's lepers and people diseased, Jesus puts his hands on their heads. He says, rise thou leper, and take the name of the Lord, and touches their hands. The miracles of Jesus, you must have heard, or maybe, well, you probably haven't heard, you're all Hindus. But if you're raised in the West, you hear about the miracles of Jesus, and laying on of the hands, the healing hands. Hands across the water, hands across the heart. So here we have, right here, 500 years ago, Jesus has come back again. Golden Jesus. Just like when Prabhupada was in Butler, Pennsylvania. When Prabhupada was staying with Sally Agarwal in Butler, Pennsylvania, when he first came to in America in 1965, he was staying in a place called Pennsylvania with one Western American lady who married a Indian guy named Agarwal. Her name was Sally Smith Agarwal. Agarwal is Indian name and Smith is American. And Sally is, it's kind of like Sanskrit, Sal. No, Sally. That's, so she used to call, she said, Swamiji, what should I call you? Oh no, and then she had a daughter. She had a daughter, this lady had a daughter when Prabhupada was there. And then that daughter, she used to refer to Prabhupada as Swami Jesus. she said, Swami Jesus. She used to call Prabhupada Swami Jesus. That was a very nice term. And then Prabhupada, he got a letter from her one time. This girl wrote a letter to Prabhupada in New York and said, Dear Swami Jesus. So Prabhupada thought that was quite cute. So anyway, here we have the laying on of the hands. Lord Chaitanya is healing. He's putting his hand on Amoga's chest, and now he's giving the healing benediction with these words. Uttaha Amoga Tumi Lao Krishna Achire Tumari Kripa Karive Bhagavan. Therefore, Amoga, get up, stand up, chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. If you do so, Krishna will unfailingly bestow mercy upon you. So now Lord Chaitanya has cured him with his touch, the touch of his words and the touch of his lotus hand. And now he's ordering him, stand up! Krishna will give you his mercy. Shuni Krishna Krishna Bali Amoga Amoga Utila Primon Mahade Mattohana Nachite Lagila. Hearing Mahaprabhu's words and being touched by him, Amoga, who was on his deathbed, immediately stood up and began to chant the holy name. He became mad with ecstatic love and began to dance emotionally. I'm saved! I'm saved! I see the light! I see the light! Throw away these crutches. I can walk. Jesus healed me. Jesus loves. So, Mahaprabhu did it again. Superman, Ki Jai. Super God. Superhero. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a superhero. Prem Unmad Mata. He became mad in ecstatic love. It says Prem Unmad and Mata. So he's like double mad. He was mad in love and mad in general. Because Mata means mad and Prem Unmad. Unmad means Uttam Mada. So it means topmost pitch of madness is Premonman means Divyonmad. Lord Chaitanya blessed him with his Bhav, his highest Divyonmad, Braj Bhav in his heart. And he was Premonmad. And this Prem came in his heart. And then he became mad also. Nachite Lagila. He started dancing in a mad dance, like some kind of rain dance or something, you know, the Navajo Indians or something. He became wild rain dance. and like that. Kampashu pulaka stamba sveda swarabhanga prabhuha sede kitara premara taranga. While Amoga danced in ecstatic love, he manifested all the ecstatic symptoms. So this is what happens when one contacts Prem. He got such a charge of Prem from Lord Chaitanya's order and his touch. The touch of the golden lotus hand of Lord Chaitanya on his chest and his divine words entering his ears and heart. Then he became transformed and received this unmad Prem, Prem unmad. And he displayed, and he was dancing and madly and maddened and Prem. He started exhibiting all the sattvic vikars, transformations in sattvic bhav. He says all the ecstatic symptoms, not just two or three. The level of bhav, when one approaches the level of bhav or enters into the level of bhav, he may manifest to some limited extent one or two symptoms of ecstasy, sattvic vikars. Romancha kampa sutaranga bhajo. We sing romancha kampa sutaranga bhajo. So romancha, hair standing on end, pulak, trembling, goosebumps, and then there's tears. That's three, but here are all eight. Trembling, kampa, ashru, pulak. Kampa is trembling, ashru, tears, pulak, jubilation. Trance, perspiration, and faltering voice. Seeing these waves of ecstatic emotion, Mahaprabhu began to laugh. Prabhu hase deki premara taranga. Prima taranga. Waves of Prem. Seeing these waves of Prem wash over the mind and heart. Seeing these waves of Prem, Unmad Prem, Braja Prem, wash over the heart and mind of Amoga the offender and wash clean, wash his heart from all envy and enliven his mind with transcendental feelings and symptoms to the point where he was dancing and madly displaying all the eight symptoms of ecstasy and sattvic bhavs. Lord Chaitanya, seeing this wonderful and glorious transformation of the envious offender into an ecstatic lover of God. At one point he was an envious offender of God himself. And next moment, by the mercy of God, he became an ecstatic lover of God, displaying all symptoms of transcendental loving ecstasy. So seeing this beautiful transformation, most astounding and incredible transformation, which was all due to his mercy, and of course the blessings of Sarvabhauma, indirectly. And then Lord Chaitanya was happy. He was smiling. Prabhu hasite. He actually began to laugh. Prabhu racharani dari karaye vyanai aparadash kshamapmode prabhu dayamai. Amoga fell down at the Lord's feet and clutched them tightly and submissively prayed, "Oh, merciful Lord, please excuse my offense." How's that? Watching all these plays. Aparada shama more prabhu dhaya moi. Oh, dhaya moi. Prabhu dhaya moi. Kara even I. With great submission, Dari, Charani Dari, catching hold of Lord Chaitanya's feet. So Amoga has become very much repentive and very much appreciative and grateful to the great mercy Lord Chaitanya has bestowed upon him. So we can think by this, well, Amoga was a big offender. He was a great offender to God and the devotees, because by offending Lord Chaitanya, he was also offending his father-in-law. So he's offending the devotees and the Lord. Usually it goes together. It's hard to offend one without offending the other. If you offend the devotees, you automatically offend God. If you offend God, you automatically offend the devotees, because you can't separate them, really. So such a great offender has become such a great devotee. So we can look at ourselves. We can take this story and turn this story into a microscope and put ourselves on a slide and put that slide under the microscope and examine ourselves. Have we offended God? Have we ever made any Bhagavan aparad? Have we ever made offenses to God and his devotees? Or have we ever committed offenses to Krishna's devotees and to Krishna, and thereby also to Krishna? Then if we have done such aparads, then there's also still a chance for us to be successful. If we can somehow receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we'll be forgiven and blessed with his highest level of prema. Prema will wash over Prema Taranga, the waves of prema will wash over our envious, offensive hearts and inundate and flood out, let's say, submerge and flood all those envious, non-devotional feelings, all those offenses will be washed away, and we'll dance in ecstasy, experiencing all the sattvic bhavs. So what happened once can also happen again. It's different than lightning. They have a phrase in English that lightning doesn't strike in the same place twice. It goes boink, and then boink, boink. Lightning, vidyut, thunderbolt. But in this case, in this science, this is bhakti science. So science, the very meaning of the word science is repeatable results. Repeatable results. You do the experiment, you get the same result I got. So what happened once can happen again. It happened 500 years ago when a fender became a premi. Amatsaryavadi, someone who's full of offenses, someone who was an abode of offenses became an abode of prem. He became premashraya. He became a receptacle of Gauranga's mercy, Prabhu Dayamoy. When he received the Prabhu Dayamoy, the incredible mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he became transformed into an ecstatic, loving devotee. So there's hope for us too. We can also become ecstatic, loving devotees by the divine intervention of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Paramakaruna pahamdui jana nitai gora chandra Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doyamoy, kripa doyamoy. Say Sri Krishna Chaitanya kripa, what's that song? Doyamoy or some song like that. Echara mukke tomar karino nindane ete bale apanagale chodai apane. Not only did Amoga beg pardon from Lord Chaitanya, of forgiveness, but he also began slapping his own cheeks, saying, "By this mouth, I have blasphemed you. I have blasphemed you." It says, in word for word, it says, "This abominable mouth." Here it just says, "By this mouth. By this, in this abominable mouth, I have blasphemed you." And then he slapped himself in the cheeks. So then, of course, he's speaking this to Gopinath Acharya. Gopinath is, but he's remembering. How is it? How does it work here? No, they're both there. Gopinath is there. He was there with Amoga. Then Lord Chaitanya came and said these things and blessed him. So I'll read tomorrow, find out what happened to his cheeks. What happened to Amoga's cheeks? Did he get swollen, black and blue? Did he? What happened? Yes? Question is, in relation to an offender becomes destroyed, like Kamsa ultimately became destroyed because of his offenses, trying to kill Krishna's sister, Yogamaya, and also trying to kill Krishna's mother, Devaki. It was all accumulated. The offenses to Devaki accumulated, and when Yogamaya, Krishna's sister, was born, he tried to kill her, and then in context of that, it says everything was lost. And then we find in the same time period, Balaram is also there, and then we see Duryodhan. Of course, Duryodhan also lost everything. But you want to know why Balaram was affectionate towards Duryodhan? I can't say specifically, just but philosophically. There may be specific reasons that escape me right now. What is the underlying cause for the affection? But because there's two things to look at here. One thing is that, of course, their family relationship is there. There's family connection between Duryodhan's family and the family of Balaram through the actual lines, family lines. So, as you know, in India, people are very affectionate towards their family members, even if they're like 10th removed cousins. So where are you going? I have to go to this wedding party in Delhi. It's very important. It's my brothers, sisters, cousins, nephews, grandsons, uncles, nephews, cousins, cousins, second cousins, friend. And he's a very close member of the family. And I absolutely must, there's no way I cannot go and attend the wedding. So they're very, very extremely extended families. And not only do they extend the line of family, but also the affection goes there. They actually feel that way, whether it's by imitation or whatever, but somehow they feel duty-bound and even maybe sometimes more than duty, they actually want to. So that's one point, that Duryodhana had some family connections. I mean, Balaram had some family connections with Duryodhana, and he wanted to show that to respect that, he didn't want to take sides or take part. Because, this was Krishna's thing. Kurukshetra was his little brother's program. And Arjuna was primarily his friend. And that's because it's personal. Although you say they're aspects of the same Godhead, but in tattva they're one, but in rasa they're different. So Vishnu is also there. I mean, all the Godhead. So because there's difference and there's personality, then there's also different feelings and different moods. And the same issue is there in Dwarka. Again, in Dwarka, Balaram had a different opinion than Krishna. So they're both God, but two gods, the same God can have different opinion. One God differs from another God. Krishna is also God, and Balaram is also God. The only difference is one is a white God, one's a blue God. They're both the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They both play the flute. They both tend the cows. They both have gopis. They both have rasa dance. They do everything. But one's white and one's blue. So if you like a black God, then you have Krishna. If you like a white God, you have Balaram. So all the black men can worship Krishna. All the white men can worship Balaram. But at that, in Dwarka Lila, Balaram, he wanted to marry the sister, who was actually his sister, because Balaram is the son of Rohini and Vasudev. And Subhadra is the daughter of Rohini and Vasudev. Or maybe some other queen, because he had 10 queens. Vasudev had 10 queens. But generally, I understand that it's Rohini's daughter. So actually, it was his sister. As far as Krishna's relationship with Subhadra is his stepsister. Because the mother, Krishna's mother, our Krishna, the Krishna we worship, is a Krishna that's the son of Mother Yashoda. So because Krishna's sister is Yogamaya, and we just heard that, Yashoda gave birth to a boy and a girl, Krishna and Yogamaya. And Yogamaya left Kamsa's hands and went to the Vindhya mountain ranges and here and there in different places. Now, Subhadra was born in Mathura. You don't hear anything about Subhadra. Subhadra is another personality, completely different personality, his daughter of Vasudeva and Rohini. So, and she grew up in Mathura. You don't hear much about her. But when everything in Mathura was shifted to Dwarka, then you see Subhadra manifesting in Dwarka, marrying Arjuna. So there was a difference between the two gods there in Dwarka, because Krishna, he was favoring that Subhadra marry Arjuna, even though Arjuna came as a sannyasi and all that. But Balaram had a different opinion. Balaram wanted Subhadra to marry maybe Duryodhana, I think so. I can't remember. It was the same Duryodhana. So there was a difference of opinion. So there, and also, and then later when there was a Kurukshetra battle, and then he chose to default. Rather than fight, he chose default. So Balaram went on pilgrimage because he didn't want to take sides. So that was his personal choice because of his personal affection. So you could say affection was higher than duty. Because his brother could say, come on, I'm fighting this war too. Come on, you're my brother, let's go. But then Balaram said, no, I have affection for him. We have family connection. Our family has a connection with Duryodhana's family, which I can't trace now, but you can see in the family lineage is how they're the same family, basically. And then secondly is, he's my friend. I like him. And the reason I like him, because I was his teacher. I taught him club fighting. I taught him club fighting, and he was a very good student, and I have some affection for him. So I really don't want to take sides against my own student, because on one level, this is also a dharmic. It's a dharmic for the student to fight the teacher. That's quite a dharmic. The student does not try to kill the teacher. Of course, in Kali Yuga, they do. It's a fact. It's even said in Shastra, the disciples will try to kill the guru. Sadly, a note. But this wasn't Kali Yuga yet. So it was highly irreligious for the teacher to go fight against the student. So for Balaram to fight against his student Duryodhana would be adharmic. So he chose that course due to affection, due to his being a student, and due to the fact that he has his own personality. God is his own personality. He's not, and that was his choice. That was his will. That's my answer. And because if you look on Krishna's side, you find Arjuna using the same argument. He said, "My teacher's there. My teacher, my Dhanurved guru is there. He taught me archery. His name is Dronacharya. He's on the other side, and you're asking me to fight my teacher. This is adharmic." So Krishna said, "Forget it, do it." So Krishna overruled that rule of dharma. But Balaram didn't want to follow that line because he's independent. Okay, Krishna, you can do it that way, but you're doing it that way? I'm not going to do it that way. You're going to engage the student against the teacher? Well, I'm not going to engage against my student, so I'm going on pilgrimage. So it's like this. They're showing two sides of dharma. Two different ways to see dharma. The justice shastra consideration of dharma, you can say Balaram is showing that in one sense. But then the higher principle, the bhakti aspect of dharma, the Krishna bhakti aspect, and then Arjuna and Krishna are showing that aspect. Then the individual personality and choice of the Lord being an individual. That was how I could adjust that. Because I can't recall anything I've read, any commentaries or something to describe this particular phenomenon. So I'm only just answering on the basis of what I can perceive. Because of bhakti, and this is Krishna's will. Because even Balaram is subordinate to Krishna's will. Because Balaram is simply an agent of the pleasure of Krishna. Balaram is told in Adi Leela, the glorious Nityananda, Balaram is saying, he's always absorbed in Sevananda, the bliss of serving Krishna. So he chose this path of action, knowing that this would be the best way to serve Krishna. That's another point. The path of action means to avoid being there and to go on pilgrimage.